إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are at the last part of the story of Musa alayhi salam, which relates to the period after leaving Egypt and the period of wandering in the desert of Sinai. Now, there are three major events that happened with that. One is that the people of Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala led them to the promised land, which would be Baitul Maqdis, which was at that time occupied by some other people, the Hittites, and Bani Israel were given the order to fight for it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them victory. But they refused. And they said to Musa alayhi salam, "You and your Rabb go and fight." So not only did they refuse, but they refused in a very arrogant and nasty way. Because since they were the people of Musa alayhi salam, where is the question of saying you and your Rabb? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their Rabb. And to say you and your Rabb go and fight, so it indicates an attitude where people who are in difficulty do not want to do anything to relieve their own difficulty. They want to dump it on the head of their imam or the head of their leader and on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, "You relieve this for us, we are not going to do anything." So this is one attitude. The second attitude of Bani Israel was the attitude of lack of shukr. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them with food from Jannah, manna wa salwa, for which they had to make no effort. It was coming to them free and it was coming to them without effort. But they were ungrateful for that. They said, "What is the point of eating this every day, and we would like to have onions and garlic and all kinds of things." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Musa alayhi salam asked them, he said, how is it that you ask for something inferior in exchange for something superior? So this was the second attitude of ingratitude. One was this laziness and unwillingness to make effort for their own benefit and expecting someone else to give it to them on a platter. Second one was this attitude of ingratitude, being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. And the third one was the issue of shirk, which when Musa alayhi salam was called to the mountain, to Tur, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving him the Torah, the law, these people fell into shirk and they started worshipping a calf. They were misled by one of their own people and so on and so on. So all the details of that story. And finally, also in that context of the last one, so I say three because this last one is part of that, which is the role of Harun alayhi salam in this whole issue, where Harun alayhi salam did not stop them or did not stop them strongly enough when they went and they started worshipping the calf and so on. So of course Musa alayhi salam came back, he was very upset, very angry. He grabbed Harun alayhi salam literally by his beard and his hair. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Quran that Harun alayhi salam said, you know, "Leave me," and so on. And he asked Harun alayhi salam, "Why is it that you did not stop them?" And Harun alayhi salam made a statement which is also very salutary and something to think about. He said, "I did not say anything to them because I feared that they would become divided. They would become divided." So the point is that I am not going into the details obviously, but if you look at the three or four major lessons from this, before that, so what was the result of all this? The result of an attitude of ingratitude, falling into shirk, the leader who was left with them unwilling to take a clear stance on the matter, unwilling to warn them, and also the issue of laziness and unwilling to make efforts. The result of all this was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that they would wander in that desert for 40 years. So one entire generation, including Musa alayhi salam himself, never saw the promised land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually gave them Jerusalem to the next generation, not to that generation. So one entire generation who came out of Egypt, who should have been living in the promised land, never got to see it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to the extent that when the time for Musa alayhi salam's death came, Musa alayhi salam requested the angel of death, Malakul Maut, to show him Jerusalem. He said, at least take me to the wall, I want to see it. And Malakul Maut took him there, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is where his soul was taken, and he is in his grave under the wall of Jerusalem. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw him when I went on Isra wal Mi'raj, and he was making salah in his grave. And this is one of the fazail of the Anbiya, that they are permitted to pray in their graves. So this is the issue of Musa alayhi salam. So this is as a side note. But the three or four attitudes that I mentioned, ingratitude, laziness, falling into shirk, not listening to their leader who is trying to warn them, and unwillingness to, and also, you know, all of this. So together, result was this. Now, if you think about this and say, well, what are the lessons? If we look at ourselves, as I mentioned right in the beginning, the reason why Musa alayhi salam's people are mentioned so many times in the Quran, over and over again, is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing them to us as an example for us to learn from. And this is because we are the next people after Musa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam did not have a ummah of his own. Isa alayhi salam was from the millat of Musa alayhi salam. So after Musa alayhi salam, the next ummah is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us lessons and saying that this is what the people before you did, so learn from that. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, what I fear for you people is not poverty, I fear for you wealth, because that wealth will corrupt you the same way it corrupted people before you. So people before us were the Bani Israel. And he also said that if they went into one lizard hole, you will go into the same lizard hole. Now this does not mean that we are destined for that. It means that this is a danger that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning us about. That wealth will corrupt you, and that you will follow people in evil, not in goodness. And that is sadly what we see today. And what we see, not just today, what we have been seeing, if you are reading history, then this is what we have been seeing for the last 300 years, is exactly the same pattern as the Bani Israel. We are lazy. We do not want to make an effort. We do not want to take any trouble. We want our troubles to be sorted out by somebody else at their cost. We don't want to move for that. We are ungrateful. What Allah has given us, wherever we live, we are ungrateful. We are constantly complaining and moaning and groaning. We don't like what Allah has given us. We are unwilling to listen to those who warn us. Where possible, we try to shut them down. Where you can't shut them down, you still moan and groan. You don't want to listen to them. All of the, and of course shirk. We are full of shirk. We say La ilaha illallah, but in our actions, we deny this La ilaha illallah, not once, but many different times. Many different forms of shirk. I don't have to, and I'm not going to list all the stuff that we do. I think all of us know it very well. So all of these four things, if you look at these four things which got the Bani Israel into trouble, and what was the trouble? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not decrease their difficulties actually got increased. The difficulties got increased, their dua was not accepted, they were not given success, and one entire generation had to go into the ground, including the Nabi of the time. Both the Nabi, Harun alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, both of them did not see success, which was promised to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give it to them, not because of any fault of the Anbiya. Obviously, the Anbiya did not commit any fault, but the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned, Musa alayhi salam made this dua. He said, Ya Allah, my people are beyond me. I am helpless. Me and my brother Harun, we are willing and we are obedient to you, but these people are not capable of, they don't want to listen. So, if we think about this and we say, today we look at our situation in the world, individually, in different countries, we look at our situation globally, and we find ourselves in the same situation. We are, as a group, as a collective group, we are the most wealthy in the whole world. There is no group of people who is wealthier than we are. Number two, even though we say we are 1/5 of the population, if you look at us as a group, we are the number one in the world, because Christians and Christianity, which is supposed to be more than us, is completely divided into many, many different factions. Second thing is that most of Europe, which is supposed to be Christian, is actually atheist. So if you look at people who are on some religion, one identifiable religion, we are the biggest. There is no doubt about that. Muslims are more populous than anyone else. So that's two. Thirdly, our global spread, our footprint is huge. Much bigger than anybody else, including Christians. So what else? What is lacking? I mean, we have every conceivable thing you can imagine. We've got money. We've got number. Our numbers are great. Influence is today for sale. So nobody stops you from buying it if you want. But we have all of these four qualities. We are ungrateful. We are full of shirk. We don't want to make effort, we are lazy, and we don't want to listen to anybody who tries to warn us. Our precondition of listening to somebody is they must tell us what we want to hear. As long as you have somebody singing your tune, very happy with that. But the moment somebody tries to wake you up and say, I'm sorry, you are wrong, then immediately, we curse them, we malign them, we try to destroy them one way or the other. This is not only in India. This is a standard sort of formula that Muslims have adopted across the world. Today, if you look at Sheikh Yusuf al-Qardhabi, what is the grouse about him? Man is 90 in his 90s. What's the problem with him? Because he doesn't agree with the trend of the Arabs. This is how the Arabs think of themselves. This man will sit there and will say, you are wrong. This is what you are doing. Hey, we don't like this. So, destroy the man. Allah, life and death is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tu'izzu man tasha wa tuzillu man tasha. Izzat and zillat in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can do anything to him. Let anyone try. But the issue is that people who do not like warners invite the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on their heads. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah holds back the adab as long as there is somebody who is warning. When the warners are finished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his adab. His punishment. And I think that is what we need to fear, and that's what we need to seek protection from. And the way to do that is not simply to say yes, the way to do that is to get rid of these habits, get rid of laziness, understand that there is no avatar who is going to come from heaven to solve your problems. You have to solve them yourself, which means make the effort, make the investment, get out of your houses, take the pain, otherwise it will not go away. Number one. Number two, so this laziness must go. Number two is be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah has given us. This whole issue of ingratitude or ungratefulness, this attitude must go. Number three is stop this shirk. Bring tawhid into our lives, clean up our act. Any form of shirk, whatever it is, there is no such thing as small shirk and big shirk. Everything, all shirk is bad. Remove all this shirk, clean up the act, get into the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make sure that you do your faraid. And again, as I said, shirk is not just worshipping idols. Shirk is also, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan and elsewhere, is to give your own desires precedence over the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The classic example of that is the kind of khurafat and the kind of nonsense we do in the name of our weddings. All the israf we do is shirk. It's a form of shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it as a form of shirk. All the different customs and so on, and all these, Gana parties and song parties and whatnot. We are not even ashamed to do this. We do this shamelessly, we participate in it, we go. So this must finish. And we must learn to listen to people who tell us what we need to hear, not only what we want to hear. If we do these four things, then inshallah al-musta'an, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. But if we do not do this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already gave us the example of what happened in the case of Musa alayhi salam. And believe me, the Nabi was with them, there is no Nabi with us today. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not standing with us in a physical form today. Whereas Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam, there were two Anbiya with them, that didn't help them. So what's going to help us? We have to change our ways and we have to learn, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his kalam for us, not simply to recite for sawab, but for us to read it and to understand it and to change our lives. If we are not going to change our lives, then I have to say that we have to be prepared for the itab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to protect us from that, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to give us the sense to change ourselves before we have to stand before him on the day of judgment. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.